Beloved friends, we greet you in the precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, and we welcome you to the broadcast today. We welcome you in the name of our soon-coming Savior King. We will continue our meditation upon the great Olivet Discourse of our Blessed Lord from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. Who but the King himself could speak with words of complete authority concerning his coming again to the earth? How imperative that we should pay strict attention to his own spoken revelation relative to his second coming. Yet we venture to say there are very, very few that are giving heed or perhaps showing interest in that great event that will change the present history forever and establish upon and over the earth a reign of righteousness and peace. So, the writing of human history. Historians magnify their heroes, we know. They exalt their great men as changing the history of the world by their lives and conquests. But they have no place in their hearts for the Blessed One, whose coming to the earth will provide salvation and whose return back to the earth in a coming day will certainly sweep all the nations under his great and blessed reign. My beloved friend, whatever politics may prevail in nations of the earth, you can be sure of in your own heart and mind that Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, is soon to appear, and he will be in absolute worldwide authority, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, we ask, have you fallen at his blessed feet, repentant and believing, to own him now as your only Savior? We would listen to his words in Matthew chapter 25, and particularly verses 32 to 35, when following his emphatic declaration that his return to the earth in power and glory will be visible for all to see. There are special exhortations for guidance and help to prepare us for the actual return of the Lord. And the first exhortation is the parable of the fig tree. Now listen to the words of the Savior. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at your doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. An instructed believer knows that the fig tree is a picture of Israel, and the parable of the fig tree, recorded by Luke in chapter 13 of his book, is well known, and undoubtedly its application to Israel, to whom the Lord came, looking for fruit, did not find it. The reference in Luke 21 mentions the fig tree and all the trees. Israel and all the nations are represented in that particular reference. In Matthew 21, we see the withered fig tree, a type of Israel's spiritual and national death. But Israel, the withered fig tree, will be vitalized and will bud again. Now this is the lesson in Matthew 24 from the words of our Lord and King. When he comes, blessing and new life, fruit and glory will be realized in those end days for the people of Israel. But yet, it is amazing for us to see even now. We behold Israel like a budding fig tree. Signs of new national life after 2,500 years, and this fact is not wrong for us to recognize as a definite sign of the times. Though not yet under their Messiah's reign, none can deny the astonishing fact that nationally, once again, Israel is known as a nation among the nations of the world, regardless of all the political and the social upheaval caused by it. It has been acknowledged as a nation, with its flag, with its government, and its representation among all the others of the world, even though it is unfortunately the object of great hatred. Surely even this tells of the nearness of the end of the age and the soon return of the Lord. But note the words of the Savior saying, Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things have been fulfilled. There have been many wrong interpretations of this word generation, responsible for erroneous ideas in our own times, and leading many astray. But let us get the right meaning of the word generation. Our English word has the meaning of a family or a race of a certain class of people. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 8, it is used that way when the Savior said, For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Likewise, is not the Jewish nation a race that sprang from Abraham, God's chosen earthly people? They have well been called the everlasting nation, and any discerning student of Scripture will acknowledge them as a nation of destiny. God has kept this race, and He is keeping them for the fulfillment of His own great revealed purposes. Yet, can we not also suggest that the word generation has the meaning that the people living, when the end of the age comes, they will see its termination? Frankly, if one studies the prophetic scriptures concerning the end of the age, both for Jew and Gentile, that end is going to be accomplished in a very short space of time. Did you ever notice, centuries ago, that the Apostle Peter wrote, But the end of all things is at hand, in 1 Peter 4:7? Now, if Peter felt this, how should you and I feel today? Today, the formation of Israel and its present position is a far emphatic voice telling us this. God has His people right where He can now finalize His own divine purposes for them, to bring them into the center of fiery affliction for their purging. And you will have to sensibly agree that for all purposes, they must be in their own land when the Messiah, their Lord and their King, places His feet upon the Mount of Olives. Is it wrong then to consider even this present generation will be alive to see the second coming of Christ, though unable with authority to explicitly set any date? Listen to what the Savior declares at the close of the parable of the fig tree. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. My beloved, how solemn this is. Here are the words, great and mighty, which have been attacked by the Lord's enemies and denied, but they stand true. These words that our Savior has spoken relative to the restoration of Israel and His coming again, they are as eternal and divine, infallible and true, as even He Himself is, who is the eternal Son of God, from whose lips these words were spoken. Far greater in solemnity are the following words of the Lord Jesus in verse 37. Please note the solemn expression, But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but My Father alone. Now listen to it very carefully. The beginning of this time is liable to occur any moment, but it is foolish to speculate. It is indeed impossible to set the year or day or hour, and this in itself demands that we should be ready to meet the returning Lord. Can any sensible, careful reader or listener to the Savior's word spoken on this occasion in the Sermon on the Mount, the Olivet Discourse, can you indeed turn away from the reality of it and recognize the suddenness and the imminency of His return should make certain that we are sure of our own personal salvation? My beloved radio friend, if you are unsaved, are you listening? Are you prepared for the second coming of Christ? Oh, may I state without question of doubt, on the horizon of this world, in the very centrality of all the nations, there is a little nation, Israel, back in their own land, with their own flag, with their own government, recognized and acknowledged, though in spite by many, but acknowledged as being where God declares He wants them to be. His own people, back to His land. Now one cannot deny this should be speaking volumes to any interested listener. I remember the occasion in the history of my studies as a boy in England, where King Alfred of England on one occasion asked his chaplain, "Can you give me in one word a proof that the Bible is the Word of God?" The chaplain thought for a moment and then replied very instantly and said, "Sire, Your Majesty, Jew, my beloved, you cannot deny the fact. This is a race of people sprung from the loins of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that verily have been divinely ordained to continue. And their existence as a race has been kept pure throughout all their dispersions in all the world. All other nations, all other kingdoms, all other empires that have been broken up, they have been spread and lost among the nations of the world around, but not the Jew. And now we see, back in their own land." My beloved friend, if you're not saved, I beg of you to realize the necessity and the imperative necessity of doing it quick, to come to the Lord Jesus. Confess your sinful condition before Him, what is true of all of us for all have sinned. Acknowledge that only Christ the Savior, the Son of God, can save your soul, because He bore the penalty upon the cross for you and for me. And will you believe it and take Him at His word that He died for your sins according to the Scriptures? And then finalize it by saying, "Lord Jesus, I will receive Thee. I do receive Thee now as my Savior." God grant, for to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of the children of God. Father, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy spoken word, to the glory of our Savior, the blessing of our fellow believers, and the salvation of sinners. Amen.